Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Please take your seat. We're going to enter into the scriptures again and continue from where we ended last week. I started a teaching on the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. And tonight, I want to continue in that vein. One thing that was clear in last week's teaching was that every Christian is a disciple. They are not a group of people in the church who become disciples. But immediately you give your life to Christ, you are a disciple. And therefore, the dynamics keeps changing per your growth. Just like a child, when you give birth to a child, the primary dress you buy for the child is a Pampers. But as the child grows up, you have to be changing the dress. So we don't even buy a lot of dresses for children at particular ages because they keep changing. So when you become a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. And we established that. I don't want to go back to what we started. And I said, if you are a doctor, you are a disciple. If you are a lawyer, you are a disciple. If you are a prophet, you are a disciple. If you are an apostle, you are a disciple. So it's not like you are an apostle and therefore you have graduated from being a disciple. No. You are first a disciple of Christ. If you are an accountant who is a Christian, you are first a disciple before you are your accountancy. So we must not come to the point where we think that we have outgrown the call of discipleship. You cannot outgrow the call to discipleship. No matter who you are. I mean, there is no prophet who has outgrown that call. A disciple will remain a disciple. So today, I'm going to continue. I want you to close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and pray to God that, Lord, I want to honestly understand your word tonight. Lift your voice and pray. I want to honestly understand your word tonight. Lift your voice and pray that, Lord, help me to understand your word tonight. Help me. I don't want to hear it and become logical, but Lord, let it eat into my spirit and let it be planted in my spirit. Let me not live here ordinary. In the name of Jesus, let me not live here the same. Let your word come to me in clarity. Let there not be any ambiguity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Not an ordinary time with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm teaching on the cost of discipleship part 2. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 33. Give me the old King James. You give me the Amplified. And you give me the Message and the NLT. These four. So KJV, Amplified, Message, and NLT. Those versions paint a very good picture. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Amplified version. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me. So you see, the Amplified breaks that word into two parts. Go to the KJV again, verse 32. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men. Now move to the Amplified. He said, therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me out of a state of oneness with me, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven and confess that I am abiding in him. Verse 33. But whoever denies and disowns me before men, I also will deny and disown him before my Father who is in heaven. Message version. It says, stand up for me against world opinion. So you see what that confess means. It's not just what you are saying. So the message hits it harder. Amplified broke it into two. But the message, he said, stand up for me against world opinion, and I will stand up for you before my Father in heaven. Verse 33. If you turn tail and run, do you think I will cover for you? Verse the NLT. And then I start breaking the scripture for you. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth. Very important. So it is more than just verbal. Acknowledging. So everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Verse 33. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So, the scripture we have read, I want to ask, is a rhetorical question. Does that mean that confessing before others is a condition for a man to become a Christian? Confessing and acknowledging God and acknowledging Christ and standing up for God against world opinion, is it a criteria for a man to become born again? The answer is no. Because the criteria for you to be born again is one. You believe, you confess, you are born again. I'm coming. So you have to understand something. You have to be a doctor before you treat people. But some people treat people who are not doctors. So here, give me the verse 32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. The question I asked was, does that mean confessing before others is a condition of becoming a true Christian? The answer is no, because you can be a Christian, you can become a Christian on your bed. You don't need an altar call to become a Christian. You don't need a crusade to become a Christian. Some of us receive Christ in buses. And there are people who may not even get up in a church building and raise their hands, but yet they are converted unto the Lord. So what is Apostle talking about? What is the scripture? What is Jesus talking about here? That is what we are going to spend some time tonight to really understand that scripture. That those who deny me on earth, I will deny them. And he was not talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the disciples. So Christianity is not a walk of recklessness. The call is a high call. And Jesus was just telling them that if any of you deny me, fail to acknowledge me, fail to stand up for me against world opinion, I would deny him before the Father. It means that a characteristic of a Christian, a characteristic of a disciple is that that man stands up for the Lord. That is it. A characteristic. If you say you are a disciple of Christ, you have to stand up for the Lord against world opinion. Whatever the world is saying that is anti the word of the Lord, the man who says he's a Christian, the man who says he's a disciple, the one who says he's born again, must boldly and fearlessly stand with the word of God against world opinion. John Wesley once said that God with me is the majority. God with me. So if you identify the word of God in a particular situation, Bible is telling us to acknowledge God and stand for God at all times, fearlessly, boldly, and with all faith. That is what we see in Daniel. We pray for miracles, the miracles of Daniel, that lions will not be able to chew us. Listen, Daniel stood up for the Lord against world opinion. So the call of a disciple is that a man will stand up for the Lord against world opinion. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Keep me in the NLT. Romans 1 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news." So a disciple, we must not be ashamed to be identified with Christ, number one, to be identified with Christ's church, number two, to be identified with the kingdom of the Lord. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Christ. It is the power of God." We are in a generation where people hide their Christianity. People don't want people to know that they are Christian. People don't want to stand up for their Christian values. He said, "I am not ashamed. I am not." And that is a strong word. When you look at the tonation of that word, it was with strong conviction. I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, both the Jews first and the Gentiles first. He was not ashamed. God wants his people not to be ashamed of the gospel. God wants us not to be ashamed. To be called a Christian, it comes with a cost. It's not a fanfare. It is not a party. It's not a jam. To be called a Christian, you are not a fan. You are not a fan of Jesus. God is not calling fans. God is calling disciples. Fans are people who follow things when the thing is making them happy. So I'm a fan of this. I remember when Manchester was going through a lot, I switched back to Real Madrid. I'm a fan. I'm not a disciple. Disciples get stuck with their master. Rain or shine, you are there. And the master has promised us that when we go through the fire, he will be with us. When we go through the waters, you believe that the waters will not overcome us. A disciple must stand. We must not be ashamed praying. Christians are becoming ashamed standing up for the Lord. And that is why I'm doing this teaching. That's why the Lord helped me to prepare that we must not be ashamed of who we are. We only become ashamed when we don't know who we are. But God made us in his own image. God purchased us with his blood. If we know where we are in God, if we know our position in Christ, if we know what Jesus has done for us, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not run away from the gospel. We must not pretend as if we are not audacious. You have to stand up for Jesus. So we sang that song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You see, it is a call to stand up for Jesus. That is the call of Christianity. That is the call of discipleship. And God wants you and I to personally stand up for him. He stood up for us when God was looking for someone to come and die for mankind. Jesus said, I will go. And God is expecting us to stand up for him, to be there for the gospel, to be there for the church, to be there for Christ, to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's not just going to be baptized in water. If it's just baptizing in water, then everybody that has swum in the sea has been baptized. But the main purpose is that we are identifying with the purpose of his death and the purpose of his resurrection. Let me just keep the heat slowly. The heart of a disciple of Christ is the heart that is committed to become like Christ. The heart of a disciple of Christ is that heart that is committed day by day, step by step, one rope at a time, one moment at a time, decision upon decision, action upon action, thoughts upon thoughts, talks upon talks. Every moment, this heart is making that deliberate effort, that deliberate input to be like his Savior. He's not doing that to be saved. That man has been saved, but that man, that heart of the disciple, is the heart that will drive that man to behave and become like Christ. That is the heart of a disciple. That is the heart of a true child of God. That is the heart of a true Christian. That true Christian desires every day. That is the difference between the Christians of the first century and now. They were desiring to be like Christ, and we are desiring to be rich men. They were desiring to be like Christ, and we are desiring to be successful people. For them, their success was when they became like Christ. For them, their success was when they behaved like Christ. For them, their success was when their attitude becomes like Christ. And now I'm praying that after this teaching, somebody will be driven personally. You see, the kingdom of God is not in masses. It's in people. It's in one person. It's in you. That's why Jesus told them, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is not in masses. It's in individuals. Though I'm praying that as I'm teaching, somebody will take it a personal commitment. One of the things you should do every time when you take the Bible is that, what is God telling me to do? Don't read the Bible in a rush to go and share it or preach it or put it on Facebook. When you are reading the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is God telling me? Because God will really tell you. God will actually tell you something about you, about what he wants you to do as you sit behind the Bible. And I'm praying that as I'm teaching somebody's heart, I'm not here to preach. I'm teaching you. I'm doing something deliberate this year. This year, I gave myself a vow that I'm going to stay on the gospel from January to December. Sunday and Tuesday, we are going to enter into many facets of the gospel, because God wants to see Christians. God just doesn't want to see a church filled. No, that is not what Jesus called us to do. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And the making of the disciple can be very difficult. difficult for the teacher and difficult for the people. Yeah. Because if Jesus has saved me, what again? Yeah, you are in discipleship. And one day at a time, as we desire to be like him, one day the disciple said, we want to be like you. And it's possible that no matter who you are, if Jesus saved you, you can become like him because you have his righteousness. Yeah. So I'm going to take you further. One of the verses we read was talking about a public acknowledgement. Say public acknowledgement. Oh, say public acknowledgement. Now, the heart of a disciple of Christ is that heart that is willing to act like Jesus. We must be willing to act like Jesus. A student, act as Jesus. As church members, act like Jesus. As church workers, act like Jesus. As whatever, wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, act like Jesus. That is the heart of the disciple. And to accept the same treatment Christ received. That is where the problem is. We must be ready to accept the same treatment Christ received. What are some of the treatments he received? We just left Easter. We must be ready to accept the treatment Jesus went through. We must be ready to be put to shame. We must be ready to die. We must be ready to sacrifice. We must be ready to deny ourselves. We must be ready to accept the will of God at all cost. No, Jesus, at a point, was human, and at a point, he was divine. So at the same time, he was divine. At the same time, he was human. So he knew the will of God, but he was trying to bribe God and went into Gethsemane. Instead of praying for grace to go through the will of God, as we all do, he was praying that if it's possible, God should change the plan. That should tell you that it is not possible for God to change his mind about you. He says he loves you. He says he wants to use you. He says he wants to glorify you. He says you are part of his plan and nothing can change it. But Jesus was praying. He prayed 3 times. God did not mind him. At that point, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will. A true disciple of Christ will be willing to receive the same treatment as Jesus received. You can clap. You see, most at times we are not willing to go through the treatment, but we are willing to wear the crown. The crown is part of the treatment, but there's a treatment before the crown. We must be ready to pray every day. We must be ready to be helpful. Jesus was anointed. The anointing was not just on him for him to go to heaven with it. We are anointed to help. We are anointed to pave way for people. We are anointed to be a blessing. We are anointed to be there for the vulnerable. We are anointed to heal the sick. We must allow ourselves to receive the same treatment that Jesus received. That is the process that a disciple goes through to become like Christ. You don't sing songs to become like Christ. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. It's good to sing it. But when you sing it and you don't go through the treatment, how many of us could go through false accusations and stand? If somebody falsely accuses you in the church, you leave the church. You are not ready to be a disciple. Then you're angry, you have left the church because somebody may gossip about you. And then the church people are this, Christianity, Christians are this. You are not in the shoes. You are not going through the discipleship course. Because it will cost you to be a Christian. They falsely accuse Jesus. They will falsely accuse me. And they will falsely accuse you. There are things you've not done that people will accuse you of. People will gossip about you. Is that the reason why you quit following Christ? Is that the reason why you ran away from church? Is that the reason why you disconnect from God's people? God's people will accuse you. But God's people, you cannot disconnect from them because it's blood. The same blood connects you, connects me, connect. And God knows how your brother was before he saved him. And God knows how you are. And he still saved you. So if God has been able to save you, and sometimes you know a brother, you know that, hey, Collins, Jesus has saved this man. Does Jesus really know Collins? Yes, he knows him. Does Jesus really know Derricka? Jesus, do you know? He knows. He saved her. And put us all together with different characters. But all of us must join the discipleship course. And as we go through it, we get refined day by day. It means we are called to face a hostile world fearlessly. Fearlessly. Yes, the thing is becoming very tough. And we must be ready to confront it fearlessly. We not to compromise. Not to chop side and cut sides. God wants us to face. He said, I am not ashamed. Give me the GNT version of that. The GNT version, quickly. I'm not ashamed means I'm not. I have complete confidence in the gospel. Let no man take you to a shrine. Let no man take you somewhere. Let no man make you compromise. Have full confidence, complete, in the gospel. If Christ cannot help me, so be it. I have full confidence. He that I've believed on, I'm fully persuaded. These are the words of Apostle Paul. I'm fully persuaded. Fully, there is no 90%. I'm fully persuaded. I am a church person and I'm a church person. I'm fully persuaded. I'm a Jesus guy. I'm a Jesus guy. I'm fully persuaded. I am a gospel guy. I'm a gospel. I'm fully persuaded. I love the Spirit of the Lord. I am a tither. I'm fully persuaded. I'm a giver. I am a prayerful person. I fully believe in prayer. I fully believe in fasting. I am fully persuaded. There is no room for discussion. That is what Paul is saying. I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all men. I have complete confidence. May we come to the point where we are fully persuaded. We fully have confidence in the gospel, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm fully persuaded. It means confessing before others that Jesus is Lord and being confident that he will also speak well of us before the Father. Yeah. Jesus will have to confirm you before the Father. And the only condition by which he will confirm us is when we also stand for him on earth. Confess means three things. Number one, to affirm. To affirm. Number two, to acknowledge. To affirm, to acknowledge, and to agree. To affirm, to acknowledge, and to agree. It is a statement of identification. I identify with Christ. That is the confess. That word confess, I'm breaking it down, is a statement and a stance of identification. Yes. It's a stance of faith, confidence, and trust. It's a statement of identification, faith, confidence, and trust. This is the picture of a disciple. He has identified himself with Christ. He has faith in Christ. He has confidence in Christ. And he trusts in God. What God cannot do does not exist. Period. So if Jesus cannot do it, it doesn't exist. Now, the word confess. There are two ways you can confess that word. If we don't confess me before others, I will not confess you before the Father.
So that word confess, you can confess in two ways. Number one, with your mouth. We can confess Christ with our mouth. Say our mouth. The first one is in Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It tells us that we can confess Christ with our mouth. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if the heart is fully persuaded, the mouth will speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So one way to confess Christ is, number one, to speak with the mouth. Number two, one can confess him through righteous behavior. Righteous behavior. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. So the first one is we confess Jesus with our mouth. And number two, we confess Christ with righteous behaviors. A Christian cannot be clubbing. No, a Christian cannot have a gay partner. A disciple of Christ, no. Cannot be gambling. Okay, so you confess Christ with righteous behavior. You know, the Bible said that let this attitude take us to Ephesians chapter, Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. We'll come back to Titus 1:16. Remember that. So he said, give us verses, verse 5, yes. You must have the same attitude. The King James says mind, but this one says attitude. And I told you that you can confess. The second way we must confess Christ is through righteous behavior. So our attitude. Can you find the definition for attitude for us? Our attitude as Christians is very, very important. By this teaching, you will understand that you can't say that as for you, you love God in your heart. What I do doesn't matter. It matters. If Paul is telling us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, that we must have the same attitude. Attitude is not a myth. I want him to get us the synonym so that we can. It's a teaching service. I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. So we confess Christ with our mouth, and then we confess Christ with righteous attitudes. So Titus chapter 1, verse 16, as you look for the synonym for us for attitude. So take us to Titus. I keep preaching whilst you look for it. That such people claim they know God. Look at this scripture well. So that you will not be deceived by these Facebook folks who all that they are driven is that you become successful, you become rich, you become a celebrity, and any other attitude that is anti-Christ, they say grace has handled it. Look at the scripture. It said, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. So don't be deceived and think that your lifestyle does not matter before God. It matters. He said, they are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. Wow, give me another version. Message version. You can do that. Give me a message version. Quickly, they say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. They are real creeps, disobedient, good for nothings. When somebody told you are good for nothing, you got angry. But it's here. Message that such people who say they claim they know God, they claim we're this. But they are thieves, they are criminals, they are womanizers, they are drunkards. This Bible, which is in our book, holy book, Titus chapter 1, verse 16, is not Presbyterian chapter 1, verse 16. Titus I never met Titus, you never met him. Paul wrote this epistle to Pastor Titus. Then he's saying that the men who say they know God, the men who pray in tongues, the men who look like holier than thou, but their actions speak louder than words, they are real creeps, disobedient, good for nothings. May you not become a good for nothing in God's hands. I said, may you not become a good for nothing in God's hands. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amplified version of that. I'm teaching. I have 20 minutes to wrap up. They profess to know God, to recognize, perceive, and be acquainted with him. Even if you're a prophet, even if you're a prophet, even if you're an apostle, even if you're a spiritual guru, and you say you know God, you perceive, you acknowledge, you are acquainted with the Spirit, but they deny and disown and renounce him by what they do. So the do is very important. Church, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple, what you do is very important. Your daily routine actions is very important. Because every action has consequences. Every inaction has consequences. So what we do as believers is very important. What we do, whatever. One day a group of people came together to raise the tower. What they were going to do was dangerous. So, and God reacted. That action speaks louder than words. So he said that, but deny and disown and renounce him by what they do. Though they have said it with their mouth, they negate it by their actions. Please, are you seeing the scripture? Yeah. They negate it, they renounce it, they disown it, they are detestable, they are loathsome, unbelieving, and disobedient, and disloyal, and rebel. Hey, Jesus, amplified. Tell one man, they say you are what? Detestable. You are loathsome. You are unbelieving. You are disobedient. You are disloyal. You are rebellious. And they are unfit and worthless for good work, deed, or enterprise, or any kind. May it not be your story. I said, may it not be your story. May you not be detestable. May you not be loathsome. May you not be unbelieving. May you not be disobedient. May you not be disloyal. May you not be rebellious. May you not become unfit and worthless for any good thing. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are to confess Christ before men in our words and in our deeds. This emphasizes the public character. This is where the problem is. The public character of the confession of the Christian, which we cannot avoid. That is the symbol of discipleship. Yes. The disciples of Christ cannot do what they like. A Christian cannot do what he likes. Because you can negate your confession by your own action, but you deny, disown, and renounce him by what you do. Hallelujah. A Christian cannot take supper with 6 bottles of beer. Appetite, because you share appetite. So you have some kebab in your drawer. So when you are coming to eat, then you take small appetite. No. 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 It's there. It's there. I told you when I was preparing it. The cost of disciples is up to part 4. And all Tuesdays in April, I'll be on it. Then I did the cross. That one I could get to part 2. The meaning of the cross. You know, sometimes we think that the cross, that take up your cross and follow me, I think the cross looks like anything suffering. I need you to understand what Jesus meant when he talked about the cross. And these are the messages that must fill the church. But you see, when a pastor decides to preach in this way, his membership will reduce and his offerings will go down in this 21st century. We don't like those messages. We want message that will motivate. So in this church, we have different types of services. And each service has its own purpose. So if you want prophetic power, you come on Friday. But we can't have Tuesday being prophetic, Friday being prophetic, Sunday being, then what will you become? Prophetic people. No. In fact, the word prophetic has been abused. Because if you say prophetic and you don't mention telephone number and shoe, the people don't know that it is prophetic. But you see, the prophet, maybe one day I'll take my time to teach on the prophetic ministry that every believer belongs to. Yeah, the prophetic ministry belongs to every believer. You are a prophet, we are a prophetic generation. But we have to understand what it means to be a disciple. Yeah. Now, attitude, manner. So attitude means manner, disposition, feeling, position with regard to a person or thing, tendency or orientation, especially of the mind. So if the gay people go like it's a sexual orientation, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's not a sexual, it's a demonic action against humanity. So today I saw a gay couple, they are welcoming their child, two men. Such rubbish. Two men. You want child, but you go and marry a man. Synonyms: angle, approach, belief, demeanor, mindset, mood, notion, outlook. Our outlook must be like Jesus. Our outlook must be like Jesus. Discipleship emphasizes on the public character of the Christian. Write it down and type it down. That is all about discipleship. It's talking about.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Charis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Charis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Charis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.